You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. I'm excited today to conclude our series, Firm Foundation. This is our sixth week, and I'm going to be talking about being Holy Spirit-led and kind of conclude that. And last week, Pastor Candace brought that same subject, and I'm just going to do a part two last week if you missed it. It was just so very good as she talked about how, as the people of God, we should have an expectation that God is speaking to us and how we can align ourselves with the Spirit of God and put ourselves in that position so we can hear His voice continually. And so I'm going to start do that in just a moment, but I want to say thank you. I was gone last week. We were, my wife and I, in Virginia Beach. We flew out to be with Pastor Dan Backens. Many of you might remember him. He was here back in August for our Emerging Leader Summit and spoke that weekend. And I was able to speak. He invited me to speak at his church on Sunday, which was an incredible treat, New Life Church there in Virginia Beach. Was able to see actually one of our parishioners that now lives in Virginia. You know how so many of the Navy people move back and forth between Virginia Beach and Lemoore, and so it's always fun to see that connection. That is the church where our youth pastor, Tyler Jones, comes from. And I got a lot of ugly looks when they told people, this is the guy that took Tyler. And so I was a little taken back and got a little hate mail, but they do love Tyler, and we're excited to have him here. A great group of people there. And then we went with Pastor Dan to the Outer Banks in North Carolina to a house there. We were there with 24 ministry couples for a marriage retreat. House right on the ocean, right on the Atlantic, the sand, had jacuzzis. I mean, it was just terrible. It was a terrible marriage retreat. And Carrie and I did a session there for that, and just wonderful to hang with ministry couples, invest in them, love on them. These are people that minister in a variety of different churches kind of all across the U.S., really. And so it's I just appreciate that this church is a church that continues to give us freedom to invest in other churches and other places. I so love that we have a staff that's so strong that can be here. Pastor Candace, of course, did a great job last week. This morning, Pastor Sylvia and Stacy are at another church ministering. So as a church, we own that. We are part of this. We're investing in other churches and other leaders. And I just want to say thank you for that freedom to do that. And then I want to make sure that this is on your radar. Next weekend is a big weekend. What's happening next weekend? Do you know? Next weekend is the Prophetic Summit. And actually, this morning, I'm going to be talking about how you and I can prepare ourselves for that. Because you might be going, what in the world is a prophetic summit? I mean, it just seems kind of weird. So I'm going to clear that for you today and talk about that. So next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we've got a series of meetings. We've got two people that are coming in, two pastors who have specific prophetic giftings, Pastor John Wilkins from San Francisco at City Life Church, and Pastor Eric Butler from New Jersey, one from the East Coast, one from the West Coast, two very powerful men of God. They're going to come for that weekend, and they're going to minister specifically to our church, and you're going to love it. It's going to be powerful, and I just want to make sure that you're taking the opportunity to be present. And so Saturday morning, there's going to be a workshop that John is going to do. I think it's 9:30 to 12. There's no charge for that workshop. There's almost 200 people that are registered for that. I want to encourage you to come that morning if you are hungry at understanding what the prophetic is, how to hear the voice of God, how to minister prophetically with people, whether you know very, very little and are just curious, or whether you have been active in the prophetic ministry for years. This is going to be a very powerful workshop. And so you can register for that on the Church Center app. And then that evening at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, we're going to have a service. We're going to have a little bit of worship, and then they're going to begin to minister prophetically to a number of people that we have selected and a number of people in the congregation. And you're going to, your faith is going to be expanded and increased. One of the things that I love when the prophetic ministry is active, I am always amazed at how much God loves His people. And when you watch it happen, the way it's going to happen on Saturday, you will see that God cares about details. and he cares about his sons and daughters, and he wants to prepare them for the future, and he wants to build them up, and he wants to encourage them. And it's going to be an incredible time. So bring your spouse, bring your kids. I mean, you know, obviously, maybe if they're too little, you might want to find somebody to watch them. But certainly your young teenagers, your preteens, bring them to be in the house. Bring friends and neighbors, because they'll go, oh, wow, that's how God speaks to people. I want that. It's going to be really, really powerful. So I'm going to talk to you this morning, really laying a foundation for how we can prepare and what's going to happen this weekend. Pull out this card. It's in the seat backs in front of you. It's the last time I'm going to ask you to pull it out because our series is ending today, Firm Foundation. Would you take it? Would you wave it at me? If you don't have one of these yet, take it home with you. This is for you as a reminder. If you're part of Koinonia Church, I'd like you to have one of these. Put it in your Bible, put it on your desk, put it on your mirror as a reminder of those things that we are called to do as a church together. We're going to stay on track as a church. God has a purpose for this church. Koinonia Church is called to make a difference in this community, to bring the kingdom of God to bear in this community. And so when people ask you, your friends, your neighbors, people in the community, they find out you go to Koinonia Church and you go, well, what in the world? They ask you, what in the world is Koinonia Church? Is that a Hawaiian church? Or what's the story with that church? Koinonuka, Koinonika. Then I want you to be able to say, hey, we're a church that's igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all. Would you say that with me? All right. We are a church that is igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all. That says a lot. That says we are a people that are on fire. We are a people that believe that God is speaking today. We're a people with hope and faith for the community. We are actually, I love this statement, as Christians, we're a hope dealers. We give to the people that are around us hope that tomorrow can be different, hope that God has a plan, hope that there is a future, hope that tomorrow actually can be better, right, than today. And so as we are a people of Koinonia Church, we want to carry that with us. And then we've been looking over the last couple of weeks at five values that we think are important. Jesus is everything. People matter. Authentic community, transform lives. And we've been landing here on being Holy Spirit led. And I'm going to land the plane this morning in talking specifically about how the Holy Spirit leads us and speaks to us through the prophetic. Now, I'm going to lay a foundation this morning. I'm going to put my teacher hat on more than my preacher hat, because I want you to understand that what we're going to do this weekend is something that is biblical. It's something that God wants us to do, that what's going to happen this weekend is actually supposed to be normal for the church. It's not supposed to be something that's extra normal. It's supposed to be something that's totally, totally normal. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, there Paul says that Jesus gave to the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. He gave these gifts to the church, is what Ephesians says, in order to build up the church, in order to make sure that the body of Christ is able to do all the things that it's called to do. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Now, in most churches today, we are very comfortable with the gifts and the offices of the pastor and the teacher. Right? Those are the most easily developed and most easily recognized. If we're not careful, we will end up with a sort of limited understanding of the gifts that Jesus has given to the church. Paul says Jesus gave all five of those ministries to the church, not just two. He gave all five. And many times we miss the apostle, and we miss the prophet, and we miss the evangelist, and the church is weaker because of it. And I'm committed as a pastor in this church to be one who makes sure that all five of those ministries are present and activated and active in the building of the church, right? And so the prophetic, the prophet, is one of those five. But oftentimes we don't understand how it works. We don't understand what it looks like. And so this morning I want to talk to you about that. And this weekend, coming weekend, you're going to see that in action. Now, here's the purpose of my message today. My purpose is threefold, and I just want to be very clear. First of all, the reason I'm preaching is because you might be newer this morning, Or you might come from a background where in a church you never heard of the prophetic, or even you received a teaching that that was not something that was from the Lord. This is going to help you understand what's going to happen this weekend, because you might be nervous, you might be unsure. You're going, what is the prophetic summit? That sounds kind of like weird, and I didn't think we were part of a weird church. I mean, I know we're a weird church, but I didn't think we were that kind of weird church. So I just want to bring security to you. I want to lay a biblical foundation so you know that what is going to happen is actually expected to happen in Scripture. Secondly, if you've been around for a while, if you're an older member of Koinonia, and this is not news to you, you're familiar with the operation of the prophetic, it's tempting sometimes to get a little complacent and say, well, that's not new and shiny. I'm not really sure how important it is. I want to stir you up, you older people, if you've been around for a while. Don't get complacent. I need you. I need your prayer, I need your faith, and I need your presence, because you will help us raise the level of faith and expectation in the house this weekend. And then thirdly, I want to call you, as the pastor of this church, that our whole church would be prepared for what's going to happen this weekend. I'm excited because I love the prophetic when it is used in the way that it's designed to be used. I was thinking about this, and I remembered that when my dad first came on staff at this church, which has been back, he was the pastor at this church for a number of years. When we first came on staff at the church back in the 80s, we had been in Montana, we moved to California, and he came, he wasn't on staff yet, he was visiting, and he was speaking that day at Koinonia. And someone visited that morning. It was Ernie and Wanda Drury. Some of you might know them. He was actually in the first service. And this has now been 40 years ago, approximately. My dad didn't know Ernie. It was the first time Ernie had come to the church. They weren't familiar with the church. And my dad ministered, and then he felt like he wanted to minister prophetically. And he called Ernie out of the crowd, and he had Ernie stand up, and he began to prophesy over him. And one of the things he said, he says, Ernie, or he didn't know his name, he said, sir, I believe the Lord has given you a gift of finances. Well, it just so happens, my dad didn't know this, a lot of people in the room might have known it, that Ernie managed a bank. He managed people's money all day long. Yes, he had a gift with finances, right? Well, that affirmation, there was other things that he said, but prophetically, my dad called him out. Ernie Drury and his family are still in the church today 40 years later. Now, that is the nature of building up the church, literally, right? Because of that, strength was added, because the Lord said, through my dad, ministered to Ernie and planted him in the church, and that family has been such a blessing and such a strength to this church and in the community for years. That's how the Lord builds the church, through his gifts. All right? And so this is a wonderful and beautiful thing that he does. As the people of God, we have the expectation that the Lord is going to speak to us. We should have the expectation that we would hear and respond to the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. We know that we have a Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside of us when we give our hearts to Jesus. He comes and he saves us. He makes us new creatures. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and he's the very presence of Jesus that's with us. And he's wanting to talk to us all the time. He's leading us and he's guiding us. The same power, the scripture says, that raised Jesus from the dead is now resident inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. We are a people that have the thumbprint of Jesus. In other words, he's put his hand on us and he's identified us as his sons and daughters. We have the expectation that we're going to hear his voice. We have the expectation he's going to lead us. We have the expectation that when we don't know what to do, we say, Lord, would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you speak to me? And he's going to do it. Thank God we're not left as orphans. We're not left and rejected, but he's actually come and he's adopted us into his family and he's embraced us and he has a plan and a purpose for us and he wants us to know it. He wants us to know it. One more question, then I'll dive into the notes. I've put them there on the Church Center app for you if you want to follow along. There's actually quite a lot of notes there, more than I'm going to go through this morning, because I know some of you are students of the Word, and you're going to want to study that out. And so I've prepared that for you there. You can, if you go all the way to the bottom of those notes, you can email yourself a PDF of all the notes filled in and use it as a study guide for the week. This last week, as we were in Virginia Beach, we had lunch with Roberto and Claudia Torres, or Torres would be correct, Roberto and Claudia, we first met in Mexico when my parents were missionaries in Mexico. And then they came and they actually were here with us at Koinonia Church for 5 years, about 20 years ago. Roberto was on our staff, led our worship. Claudia was involved in the dance team. Just an incredible couple. We just love them so dearly. Karen and I had an opportunity to have lunch with them. Their two kids who are now grown, who now have spouses, who now have kids. I mean, just a beautiful time that we spent with them. One of the things that Roberto said to me, he said, Andrew, he said, when we left Koinonia, when we were getting ready to leave, one of the things that happened was Pastor Donna Howard, Pastor Tim's late wife, came over to the house to pray for us. And she said, he said, she began to pray for us, and then she began to prophesy over us. And she said to us, she said, guys, you think you're going to Virginia for you, but I'm telling you today, you're going to Virginia for your kids. Well, they didn't really know what that meant in their fullness. You just kind of say, well, thanks, God. That's awesome. You know, praise you, Jesus. That sounds like a great and encouraging word. Well, 15 years later, their kids began to be involved in a ministry, one of the foremost, I would say, more well-known ministries, Christian ministries today in the U.S. If I said the name, you would be familiar with it. And they're there. They're on camera. They are online. Both of them, both the son and the daughter, have prominent place, have favor with the leader of that organization. And now even Roberto Sr. himself is working with them and alongside them because God actually had a plan that was bigger than Roberto and Claudia moving to Virginia Beach for themselves. He actually had a plan for how he was going to bless their kids and bless future generations. And isn't it incredible that God told them about it beforehand? Isn't that encouraging that we have a God who loves us so much that he's going to tell us a little bit about what he wants to do in our life? And he's going to encourage us and he's going to affirm us. See, that's what a dad does. A dad tells his kids, hey, listen, let me equip you for what's going to come in the future. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, let me just give you a biblical concept of prophecy and the prophet. I'm going to just give you four areas of prophecy that we understand from Scripture. I'm in the notes now. I'm going to go into teaching just for a few moments. The first kind of prophecy that we are familiar with is the prophecy of Scripture. That is the Bible. Right, the prophecy of Scripture. The Scriptures tell us that no Scripture came as out of the will of man. It didn't come out of the mind of man. It wasn't the invention of mankind, but actually God moved by His Spirit and spoke through holy men to write the Scriptures. And what we have when we look at the Scripture is we call it the Word of God because we believe that it's actually a gift from the Lord that came through men, but it was not out of the minds of men. That was given to us, and it is the highest form of prophecy. It is actually God's word for us. Every other type of prophecy is always measured against the word of God. Anything that anybody ever tries to tell you prophetically, someone might say, thus says the Lord. If they ever say anything that doesn't line up with Scripture, you say, I don't know about that. Because Scripture is the measuring stick. It is the way that we always measure everything else. If I ever say anything to you from this pulpit that doesn't line up with Scripture, I want you to say, I'm not so sure about that. You have a conversation with me, and you might say, where does that come from? What verse did you get that from? Where did you get that teaching from? Because it sounds kind of like maybe it came out of your mind, Andrew. And then I'm going to say, well, maybe you're right, and I repent, and I pull it back, or what? Because if it doesn't come from Scripture, then we're going to always get out of alignment. And it's always the highest form of the measuring stick. Jesus, I love this. If you're ever wondering about the Old Testament, for example, and whether everything in the Old Testament is prophecy of Scripture, if it's actually something that we should believe from the Lord, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, it wasn't in a book form, but they had the scrolls of the Old Testament. All of the Old Testament, what was in scrolls, and the Hebrew people, the people of Israel, knew it as their scriptures. They called it the Law and the Prophets. And Jesus said, everything in the Law and the Prophets testifies about me. It's all, he believed fully in the Old Testament. He believed fully that it was God's word for the people, for us, and we can have confidence in it as well. Now, the New Testament wasn't written at that point, and it happened after that, and then they bound it together in a book. And the prophecy of Scripture now we have as the highest form of the voice of God speaking to us today, okay? And we use it as the judgment tool for anything else, every other kind of teaching, every other kind of prophecy. Now, the second kind of prophecy is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy, what do I mean when I say that? The spirit of prophecy is really the atmosphere that is present in a place like this when we gather together and we worship Jesus. What happens is the spirit of prophecy comes. Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, when Jesus comes into the room, there is the spirit of prophecy, the voice of the Lord that is speaking. It is always speaking about Jesus. It's elevating Jesus. It's lifting Jesus up. And what happens when we're here together worshiping the Lord, that's when the Lord speaks usually. The Lord always speaks when we lift up praise and we exalt Jesus, right? And then suddenly he it's like, our ears are attuned in a way they weren't attuned before. And when the spirit of prophecy comes in a house like this, our spirits are elevated. Our faith level goes up. And it's almost like our spiritual ears begin to open. And our perception for what's going on in the realm of the supernatural begins to open up in a way that it normally doesn't. And on those who don't have the gift of prophecy normally suddenly have a perception and understanding of what God is doing. This morning, we had an example of that. Daniel came up and gave that word just a few moments ago, and he was talking about distraction, right? Now, clearly the Lord was talking about distraction because you had that same perception, right? It wasn't like they got together and Candace said to Daniel, oh, why don't you say the word distraction? You get up here and you say, you know, it was like that was what was in the house. Did that resonate with you this morning? When he said that, when she said that, we went, I know that that is true. Why do you know that that's true? Because the spirit of prophecy is in the room. Jesus is here, and we are worshiping him, and all of our spiritual tuners are like our antennas are going up, and we're in tune in a way that we often aren't in tune when we're by ourselves. Thank God for the spirit of prophecy. That's a beautiful thing. That's why I like to come into corporate worship together, because it elevates us. Suddenly we go to a place that I can't get on my own when I'm with you, and your faith increases my faith, and your worship increases my worship, and Jesus comes, and suddenly we go, wow, God, thank you for speaking to your people. That's the spirit of prophecy. The third area is the gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy we would find described in 1 Corinthians and in other places. If you want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it gives a list, not a comprehensive list, but a list of a number of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the church. One of them is prophecy. It's not the most important gift, but it's one of the gifts. It's actually one of the gifts that's pretty evident that's available. Like just anybody can prophesy. We sang about it this morning. Let all the redeemed prophesy and sing. Joel in 2:28 in the Old Testament, it says your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Prophecy is actually really easy in terms of the understanding that Paul has of the availability of the Spirit of God speaking through us. It's accessible. It's very accessible. So we don't put it at something like it's the highest level and it's the most exalted. And we don't think like, wow, you got the gift of prophecy. Wow, that's amazing. We're just like, okay, yeah, you prophesy. I'll prophesy to you. You prophesy to me. That's totally to be expected. The gift of prophecy is more than the spirit of prophecy. It is that when the Holy Spirit gives us a specific gifting to be able to move in the prophetic, to hear his voice much more easily and much more clearly. And it's used to build up. It's used to edify and encourage and exhort and comfort the church, right? And so we have this understanding that the gift of prophecy should be in operation. I believe that when we get together in our small groups and we're worshiping together, that's the place when we should start ministering to each other prophetically. I had this weekend, we were in a worship service. It was probably about 50 people that are there during the marriage retreat. And we were worshiping, we were praising. It was a lovely time. And then right at the end of worship, kind of in the midst of the transition, I had a guy come up to me. And he had his Bible open, and he said, Andrew, I just feel like the Lord gave me this for you. And he read the verse, and he just began to talk to me about something that was already in my heart, something that I knew was totally true. My spirit completely witnessed to it. And he read me the verse, and he says, I believe this is what God is doing, and I think that's what he's releasing in your life. And I went encouraged. And I was just like, man, that's so right on. Thank God that someone saw that and was faithful enough and courageous enough to actually share it with me. And it just affirmed that God is at work in my life and he's doing something specific. That's what should happen in our small groups, right? We should be there and we're worshiping, we're together, we're praying. And then we get an impression that God wants to love on one of his kids. He wants to encourage them. He wants to comfort them. He wants to edify them. And we should be having these moments, and you should actually expect them as a child of God. You should expect that God's going to talk to you for the people around you. And it doesn't have to look like, thus saith the Lord, God says to you. It could just be, you know what, I feel like God wants to encourage you today, that whatever you're going through, I just sense that maybe you're struggling in your mind today, and you're not sure if you're going to make it. And God tells you, you're going to make it. His hand is on you. He's not forgotten you. He's going to make you the head and not the tail. And you just begin to love on them, allow God to speak to them through you, and it encourages them. Now, that's the gift of prophecy. The fourth area is the office of the prophet, the office of the prophet. Now, the office of the prophet is one of those five gifts that I started with. They're called sometimes the ascension gifts, the ministry gifts, or the office gifts. The pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, and the apostle. Thank you. Somebody's paying attention. Thank God. The office of the prophet is a ministry that's used specifically within the church. So it's someone that has the gift of prophecy, but they also stand in the role of an elder or a pastor within that church. And so they stand within a role of an authority in the church, and they're able to speak to the church not only edification and comfort. Remember, the limitations within the scripture for the gift of prophecy is edification, comfort, and building up. That's really the limitations of Scripture. When the office of the prophet, it widens a little bit more to where the prophet who is within a church, who is recognized as an elder in leadership of the church or pastor, they're not only comforting and encouraging, but sometimes they're correcting. Sometimes they're calling things out. They say, hey, we got to deal with this issue right here. And they do that from a place of authority because of the position that they stand in, right? We call it an office. It's basically a ministry position that they stand in, and they're able to speak to the church in a very specific way. Pastor Chad, I believe, stands in the office of a prophet in this house. He's an elder. He's a pastor. He has the gift of prophecy. When he speaks out of that gift of prophecy, I turn my ears on. Now, I don't listen to everything that Pastor Chad says in normal conversation because you're just going to waste your time. But when he speaks from the Lord, you better believe I'm turning my ears on. Because that man hears from the Lord, and he stands in a position of authority, and he doesn't take it lightly. Right? And so there's something, there's an authority that he has that I know that God speaks to him, and woe is me if I don't listen to him. Right, because he brings balance and correction and warning sometimes to us in the house, and it is a beautiful thing. So you see how there's different levels of the prophetic, and you see how the base level is the scripture, is the word of God. If you ever want to start out exercising the prophetic gift, the greatest thing that you can do is just learn some scriptures about what God wants to do in people's lives, and you begin to speak them over people. That's prophesying, because that the Spirit, remember, the scripture is prophecy. So I can say to every one of you in this house, I can begin to prophesy over you that God has his hand on you, that you're the head and not the tail, that you're going to be the first and not the last. His favor is going to chase after you all the days of your life, that he has a plan and purpose for you. He's weaving your life together. Right? Not by accident. He's weaving your life together so that there are good things that are in your way, that as you step into them and as you respond to them, he's going to lead you, he's going to guide you, he's going to give you what is needed, and you're going to marvel how good God is. Now, isn't that good stuff? Yeah. That's just straight scripture. That didn't come out of my mind. That's just verses that I have got into myself so much, I could prophesy to you all day long on that level. Now, that's a very basic level. Right? And so when I'm talking about the office of a prophet or the gift of prophecy, we're going just to a little, we're going higher than that, right? Now we're starting to have the Lord reveal things to us like, boy, you have a gift of finances, or you're encountering something in your life and they begin to talk about it. And that is that deeper and higher level of the prophetic that happens when you are operating in the gift or in the office. Now, the prophetic ministry in the New Testament, I'm going to move to the next section if you're following the notes, we see in the book of Acts that we should actually expect the prophetic. When I'm planning the summit, inviting in these guys, that's not just a fancy idea that I came up with. It's not just an idea that I copied from somewhere else. It's a God idea that's given to us in the book of Acts. And so we could see here that, first of all, prophecy within the local church is normal. When we look at the book of Acts, we see the model for what church is supposed to be like. We have to be careful because it's easy for us to do church based on what works. It's easy for us to do church based on what's popular or what works in the culture. Now, I want to be, you know, we certainly want to be smart, and there is a culture that we live in, and we're going to contextualize things, and we're going to adjust things based on the culture. But our model comes from Scripture. It's not supposed to come from anywhere else. So when I look at the book of Acts, I'm looking at that first early church, that the way that they operated is the way that we should operate today. It's like the blueprint for the church today. And so what we see in the book of Acts is that the prophetic was normal. It was normative. It would happen so often, it was almost like a yawner, like, yeah, they're prophesying again. That's what they do. That's what they do in the church. That's what they do. That's what the people of God do. They're always talking because God's always talking and he's always ministering to them. So there should be an expectation that we have as the people of God that this is something that is normal for us. If it's not normal, we have to ask God, why isn't it normal and what do we need to adjust to make it normal? Because we want the fullness of what you have, God. We don't want just a little bit. I don't want nice church. I don't want a church that's all buttoned up and just perfect every which way. I don't want an impressive church. I want a church where the Spirit of God is alive, where His presence is powerful, where He's speaking to people, where mountains are breaking and moving and melting in the presence of God. That's the kind of church I want. So this is why we're going to continue to press in, and we're not just going to go with, oh, yeah, just kind of a nice thing. I'm not interested in just doing nice things anymore, right? I'm interested in doing the God things. Now, secondly, spiritual gifts are given through prophecy and the laying on of hands. It's important for you to know that actually when you have hands laid on you in a prophetic way through the elders or leaders within the church, there is an impartation of gifting. It's not just a nice thing, right? And which is why you got to be careful who lays their hands on you. Don't just let anybody lay their hands on you, right? Because when you have people lay their hands on you, you're coming into contact with their spirit. Sometimes what comes off of them, you don't want. Right? But because there is, in fact, an impartation, there's a gifting that is given. This is what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So there was a time, Paul saying, listen, I remember we got together. Well, I was commissioning you to be a pastor. The elders of the church came together. We laid our hands on you. We prayed over you. We prophesied. And you received something in that moment. You received a gift that you're walking in today. You received something for what was to come. Don't forget about it. Don't neglect it. Don't act like it didn't happen. So there should be an expectation and understanding that when we, particularly when we come together and the leaders of the church are commissioning and praying and prophesying over someone, maybe for a season they're coming into, for new ministry that they have or whatever it is, that God is actually going to give you something. Because He's a God that loves to give gifts. The Holy Spirit gives gifts and He does it through the prophetic. 2 Timothy, Paul says this, chapter 1, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. It was almost like Timothy had to be reminded more than once. Yeah. Does that speak to you? Like sometimes I forget. And here it is, Paul again. Thank God that these things are written down for us because we're just the same way. We forget. Here is Paul again is telling Timothy, don't forget to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It's in there. You received it. But you're going to have to stir it up. And sometimes we have, in our life, we've received an impartation And I'm talking to some of you in the room this morning. You know I'm talking to you. You've received an impartation. The Lord spoke it to you. Maybe you received it by laying on of hands and prayer. And the Lord said to you, there's a ministry that I have. There's territory that I have. There's a place that I want you to step into. And once upon a time, you were stepping into that place and you were operating with faith and God was working through you. But for whatever reason, maybe, you know, you had a negative experience. You stubbed your toe. You sort of bruised your knee or whatever it is. You kind of took a back seat. You stopped stepping, you lost your faith level and you stopped stepping into that place and you gave up some of that territory. And Paul reminds you, just like he's reminded Timothy, hey, you got to fan it into flame again. You got to come back to that thing that God gave you. You got to build your faith up once again. You got to build your expectation because the Lord hasn't changed his mind because he hasn't removed that gifting. You have just stepped out of it and it's time to stir yourself up. Again, thirdly, this may be the most important point that I say to you all morning. So I want you to listen to this. Thirdly, the prophetic is given to help the believer fight the battle. I want to read that one more time. Like I said, this may be the most important thing I say about the prophetic all morning long. The prophetic is given to help the believer fight the battle. We have to understand that the prophetic is not some kind of fortune telling. It's not like, oh, you know, here's all the good things that God is going to do, the end. You don't have to do anything. Paul says to Timothy, hey, listen, I want you to have the right perspective of what you need to do with the voice of God when he speaks to you. The right perspective is when God speaks to you through the gift of prophecy, then he's preparing you for something that's going to happen on the other side of that. Which is why I always get nervous when I'm around prophetic people and they start to prophesy. I just say, yeah, that's all right. I've had enough prophecies, right? Because, and I have. I've had lots of prophecies. They're pretty powerful stuff. Every single one of those prophecies, I have a responsibility to hold and to fight for, right? Because that's what Paul says. He says in 1 Timothy 1:18, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Yes. So when God tells you something, that's actually preparation. It's strengthening for you. It's letting you know, hey, there's a battle coming and you're going to have to hold on to it. But oftentimes we make the mistake, right? Somebody was telling me on my staff that they got a word one time that God was going to establish them. I think it was like establish them in their marriage. And it said the downslope is over, the upswing has come. And the next day they left that service feeling so excited and their husband said, I'm leaving you. Now what I say is, well, you better remember what 1 Timothy 1:18 says, right? Because you obviously God knows what's going to happen, but you're going to have to fight for it. Obviously, he's given you that tool, that preparation to grab a hold of. And if you let go of the things that God has for you, many times you won't see it because this is something that he's giving you to fight with, to fight for. Sometimes God tells you, right, you know, your family, you and your whole household will be saved. Your kids are going to be in the kingdom, right? There's not going to be any prodigals. They're going to come back and they're going to serve the Lord. And you get that word inside of you and you start to declare that word and you begin to pray for your kids, and that next day your kids do the stupidest thing they would ever do, and they mess up their lives, and you think, man, that must not have been from the Lord. I'm going to tell you, no, that was from the Lord. You need to fight for it. You got to hold on to the things that God is telling you. And so don't make the mistake of thinking, wow, if somebody prophesies some good thing to you, that it's just like, oh, wow, I got it. I'm made in the shade, man. Don't have to worry about it anymore. No, you kind of say, oh, okay, God, you want to do that? Well, let me get myself ready. Let me get my position right, because I know that every good thing that the Lord has for you in your life is going to be opposed vigorously by the enemy. Everything that God wants to do in your life, the enemy is going to do everything that he can to talk you out of it, to destroy it, to steal it from you, to keep you from receiving it. He's going to make it noisy. He's going to make it hot, and he's going to try to get you to push back off of it. And the Lord wants to tell you, no, I'm going to hold on to that thing, and I'm going to buy. So even though, enemy, you're making noise, even though things are blowing up around me, I have the prophetic voice of God that has told me that he has a greater plan. And so I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not just going to roll over. Hey, you met somebody that read the scripture, and who knows what the scripture says. I'm going to fight the battle well. Now, what does this look like in the church? Acts 13 says this. If we're looking for a model and you want to know what's going to happen, let me just kind of talk about it quickly. First, this is what Acts 13 says. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And I love this because you see so much going on here. So a couple elements I want to call out because I think this is really the model that we're following. First of all, you see that you have a local church. It says, now in the church. So in other words, the prophetic, the expectation is it's going to happen in the church. In other words, it's normative that it is in fact going to operate. We have this understanding that the presence and the function of the prophet and the gift of prophecy is going to happen within the context of the church. There's also very important to see that when we say in the church, it also means that there's a sense of submission and yielding to leadership within the church. So in other words, the gift of prophecy is to be in operation in the church and under submission to church leadership. It's not a Lone Ranger type of thing. It's not something where, and it's very popular today. You can go on YouTube and you can find all kinds of prophets prophesying all kinds of things. And my question would be, what church are they in? And what submission, are they under submission under a pastor or a leader? Is someone able to call them out and to judge them according to scripture? Because that's what we're supposed to do. So in the church is really crucial for us. We have an expectation that we're in a church so it should operate. Secondly, we have an expectation that there is an order for it to happen, that we actually prophesy from the base of the church, not out of the church into the church, if that makes sense. Secondly, we see that there's a team of prophets here. It says that there was certain prophets, not just one, but there's a team understanding. And as I said, the team understanding means there's no lone rangers. And we believe that this model is really important because it protects us. We believe in ministering in teams because there's a sense in which when you minister in teams, there's accountability, there's strength. My faith increases your faith and vice versa. You pray, I prophesy, and we can hold each other accountable. I could prophesy something, you look weird at me, I go, oh, well, maybe I need to back off that one. Maybe that's a little too much of my flesh or my mental thinking. And so that team understanding gives us great strength. And on the end of, at the end of services, when we have the prayer team come up, our instruction is almost always we will minister in teams. In teams of two, because there's so much greater strength and protection that happens when we're operating in a team, and it tends to just bring, because team is always better. Thirdly, an atmosphere that is an atmosphere of ministering to the Lord, an atmosphere set of ministering to the Lord. The verse says, as they ministered to the Lord. And the reason I want to highlight that is because when we come together as a church, we're not coming together for a show. We're not coming together to marvel at the prophet. We're not exalting any human being. We're coming together to minister to the Lord. So when we come to church on Sunday, we got to remember, we don't come to church to be entertained. We don't come to church to get excited. We don't come to church to have a great time. We come to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we go up to the house of the Lord with the expectation that I got some work to do, that the work that I'm going to do is to offer up a sacrifice of praise, right? Which is what I say, you got to open your mouth and you got to sing. I mean, I don't care if you don't have a good voice, you don't know how to sing, you sing out of tune. I don't care. God doesn't care. We're supposed to bring a sacrifice of praise to him. And when we do that, then an atmosphere is set that we're here to lift up Jesus. So that when we do that, see, the great thing is when we lift up Jesus, Jesus does the rest of the work. Right? Because he says, when I am lifted up, I'll draw humankind to myself. I will actually do the work of drawing the men and women. I'll bring people into the house. I'll bring people to salvation. I'll speak to them my word. And so we have to just remember that the priority is to set the atmosphere where Jesus is first, and he doesn't take second place to anything. Fourthly, the voice of the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit said, we have an expectation that when we worship, the Lord responds. that we have, we just know, and which is what happened this morning, right? It never fails when we begin to worship that the people of God begin to be inspired, God speaks to them, and he begins to communicate with us. And so that there's that expectation. Fifthly, there's a ministry of impartation, right? They laid hands, it says they laid hands on them. They laid hands on them and they gave them the gifts that they would need, the anointing that was needed for what was to come. And then lastly, they are sent out. There's a commissioning with purpose. He sent them. See, when you receive a prophetic word, it's not just to make you feel good. It does make you feel good, for sure. It makes you feel affirmed and God's love is on you, all those kinds of things. But it's also with a purpose of sending you on task. And see, God has a plan and a purpose for you. He wants you to do some things in your life. And so when the prophetic comes, it begins to prepare you for what is the agenda that God has for your life. Now, let me give you a couple of boundary lines. And then we're coming to the conclusion here, and I want to give you some ways that you can prepare yourself for this weekend. The boundary lines are important for prophetic ministry because it's so easy for the prophetic to be abusive, manipulative, to get weird. Right? I was talking to someone this last week, and they heard that we were going to do this weekend, and some fear came up because of an experience that they'd had that was just a little weird. And they go, is that what it's going to be? Is it going to be that thing? It's easy for it to get strange. And that's why we have to put boundaries around it so that it's healthy, it's productive, it builds the church up. My goal is not to make it exciting, right? I mean, I think God doesn't need us to help him be exciting. He just is exciting, right? And so we're not trying to create a show. We're not trying to, raise the level to sort of, wow people. What we're trying to do is we're trying to create the correct boundary place so that God can have his way. And so we're going to make sure that it's healthy what happens this weekend and any weekend for that matter. So a couple of things that we do. Number one, at Koinonia Church, we will have no Lone Rangers. I kind of talked about that. We don't, 1 Corinthians 14 says that prophecy has to be judged. So in other words, you just don't get away with saying whatever you want to say. In this house, we won't have people prophesying you should marry somebody else. Thus saith the Lord, you need to get married to XYZ. Don't do it. Don't do it around me, right? We're not going to tell people controlling things or manipulative things. We're not trying to get people to be underneath our control and to get them to do what we want to do. The prophetic is supposed to bring clarity. It's not supposed to bring confusion. And so if there's confusion, then we go, okay, well, maybe there's something that's going on there that's wrong. Maybe there's a mixture of some things. And so we're going to be careful with that. We're going to back off of that. We're going to say, well, no, maybe you need to sit down for a little while. Because the reality is that that's what 1 Corinthians says as well, that it says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, you have control over your mouth. You might feel a burning inside of you. I got to say this word. And I might say, well, not right now. You're not going to say the word, right? Not right now, because you're under control of your spirit. And that might be God, but I'm also in charge of this house as a father in the house, and this is not the right time. So there's limitations and there's boundaries so that we can have a healthy assembly together. Paul says, hey, don't everybody prophesy at once. It's confusing. Don't lose control. He says, two or three, let them prophesy, one after the other. And if somebody has something, let somebody else shut up. But we're going to have order so that people can actually be built up, not just confused. I mean, we're not just looking just to make some kind of spectacle. We're looking to hear God's voice that would build us up. I want to say this, at Koinonia Church, the prophetic will not be used for personal gain. We're not trying to create a ministry that is about the prophet. We're not trying to promote them. We're not about the buzz or the followers or all those kinds of things. We're interested in hearing God's voice. Thirdly, we're going to recognize at Koinonia Church that the prophetic is a gifting that requires growth. So it takes some practice and it takes maturity. And we're going to make mistakes. We prophesy, Scripture says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, which means sometimes you're going to say too much. You're not going to get it exactly right. You're going to have a little bit of mixture in there. And so we understand that, and we're not going to, thank God, the New Testament, we don't kill the prophets that make mistakes. In the Old Testament, if you made a mistake, they stone you, right? In the New Testament, we judge prophecy. We judge it based on Scripture. When we go back and we evaluate and we correct in a gentle and loving way. I want you to grow in your gift. If you feel like the Lord has a prophetic gift on your life, I want you to grow in that. I'm going to help you grow in that by creating the boundaries so that you can grow it in a healthy way. Fourthly, at Koinonia Church, we're not going to control people. And I think I've already said that. How are we going to prepare for this weekend? This is what I want you to do. I want you to, in yourself, cultivate an attitude of faith expectation to receive from the prophets this weekend. I know that Eric and John are going to come, and they're full of faith. They have powerful giftings. There's no doubt about it. But it's really important for us to come with a sense of faith and expectancy that God is going to use them to speak. Because your level of faith, this is what the Scripture says, prophesy according to the level of your faith. Right? And so when you run out of faith, you stop prophesying. Right? When you run out, it works for any gift that you have. Right? For the teaching gift, it's the same thing. When I run out of faith to be able to say something effective to this church, now I shut my mouth. It's time for me to get off the stage. Right? It's the same thing with the prophet. And so the kingdom of God operates through faith. Faith in the hand of God to do the things that he says he's going to do. So we have faith that he speaks to his people today. We have faith that he operates through the office of the prophetic. We have faith in the Spirit that he's going to use the spirit of prophecy to exalt Jesus. And so when we come, I want you to come this weekend with a sense of expectancy that God's going to meet with us. I don't want you to come with a bunch of doubt. I don't want you to come with a bunch of cynicism, right? That's easy. I got cynicism all day long, right? I got all kinds of doubts. But what I have to do is I have to say, now, God, I believe that you speak today. I believe the model in Acts says you're going to speak through your prophets. I believe it's to build up the church. And that's what you said. So I'm going to trust in you. Now, that doesn't mean you turn off your judgments, ability, right? If something is said that's not in line with Scripture, we go, whoa, wait a second here, time out. Let's correct that. So I'm not saying turn off your mind. I'm saying increase your faith. Build a sense of expectancy in your heart. Secondly, I want to ask you to do this. Would you please fast on Wednesday and Friday? Whether or not you're even going to come this weekend, would you do me a favor and fast and pray for this weekend on Wednesday and Friday? You might fast one meal or two meals. You might do a juice-only fast or water, whatever you want to do. Fast somehow. Now, what fasting does is it basically, you're saying, I'm going to give up this thing of feeding my flesh, and instead I'm going to feed my spirit. So I'm not going to eat, and I'm going to take the time that I would normally eat, and I'm going to seek the Lord. That might be the longest hour that you've ever experienced if you've never fasted and prayed, right? You're like, wow, this is, I've got 5 minutes. Okay, what are we going to do after this? I ask, so when you make a decision to begin to invest and push and seek God and deny your flesh, then something begins to break loose. Something begins to happen. There's a power actually that's released. Jesus himself said it when the disciples came to him and says, we can't cast this demon out. He said, well, sometimes they only come out if you have fasted and prayed, because there's an additional power that happens. So I'm just, as a church, I'm just going to ask you, would you please, on Wednesday and Friday, would you set yourself aside to seek the Lord and to ask him, Lord, would you meet with us? Would you speak through Eric and John? Would you guard the service? Would you bring the right people into the house? Would you be lifted up above all other things, Lord? Would you bring crystal clear clarity to the things that you want to say to your church? Would you make sure, God, that you do the things that you want to do? And then lastly, I would just ask you this next week, would you just do me a favor and avoid doing things that are unnecessary? What I would ask is that you would please come, of course, on Saturday. Please come on Sunday. But if you come exhausted, it's so much more difficult to receive. If you come tired from all the busyness of the week, then you will find it's almost like you got to ramp yourself up to get into the Lord's presence. And so I want to encourage you, just decide. I'm going to say no to some invitations this week. I'm going to say no to some activities. I'm going to go to bed just a little bit earlier so that when you come in on Saturday, you're rested, you're expectant, you're ready, and you're prepared for what God wants to do. But if you come in dragging and you're like, oh, and then you're like, worship leader, can you please encourage me? You know, and then we haven't set the atmosphere right. So just kind of as a spiritual discipline, say, you know what? I'm expectant that God is going to do some things this weekend. So I'm going to set up my week to cooperate with him. I'm actually going to do the work. I'm asking you as a church, let's do the work. Don't wait for somebody else to do the work. Don't wait for the spiritual super pastor people to do the work. Let's do the work. Let's all say, okay, God, use me. I'm going to set myself aside for your purposes. If we do that, I believe God's going to meet with us powerfully. I'm excited about this weekend. I hope you're excited, because you're going to see how much God loves people and how much he wants to prepare them for the next season. Would you stand with me? I've gone over time. I appreciate your patience. I think that's important, what we talked about today. And I want us to be ready, because I believe that God wants this to be something that's foundational for our lives and that we don't miss. Would you just close your eyes? Prayer teams, if you just come forward. Lord Jesus, right now, in this very moment, we're just seeking your face as we conclude this service. We thank you that you're a God that speaks to us. Thank you, God, that you speak to your people today. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us scripture. Thank you that you speak through prophecy today. Thank you that you've given us a way to measure it and align it according to your word. Thank you, God, that it's something that's given to build up your church. And so, God, we right now together, we pray for Koinonia Church. Would you build it up? Would you build up families, husbands and wives and sons and daughters? Would you be at work in our midst, Lord? Would you be alive to us? I'm just praying right now, God, that even this week, as we anticipate and prepare ourselves for what is to come this weekend, God, that you would open up heaven in each of our houses, that you would, Lord, make it so that we would be so sensitive to you that we would actually hear your voice as we open up your word, that you would begin to direct us and lead us, that you would talk to us about things we need to adjust in our lives. God, our desire is that we would live our lives in alignment with you. So I just pray that your church, we would be a church that would hear your voice and we'd be obedient. And God, we pray right now for Eric, and we pray for John as they prepare to come. Lord, would you bring them with a high level of faith? Would you protect them, Lord, from the enemy? We declare that what's going to happen this next weekend, we just right now declare that that is going to happen under the confines and the covering of Jesus Christ, that the blood of Jesus is going to cover everything that happens, that he's going to bring his life to bear in this place. Would you use these men to minister to us? And God, would you raise our faith level? Would you raise our expectancy level to hear from you? We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.